I gave a devotion at the Salt and Light conference this past weekend, and I will sort of just kind of give a rundown of what I talked about there, and it's on the tongue. How we as sinners tend to use our tongue, how our tongue can be destructive, but then how we as believers, if your trust is in Christ, how you as a believer should use your tongue, how I should use my tongue. And the first point I want to make is, at the outset, is what a blessing our tongue is. My wife knew a man in her home church who had cancer of the mouth, and for the last 10 to 15 years of his life, they cut his tongue out and took his voice box out. He couldn't talk for the last 10 to 15 years. So we may think of these things, talking or breathing even, we don't think about it. We really don't. But it is a blessing from God. And thank you, Brother Joe, earlier today. I could not think of the scripture, but 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Our tongue does not belong to us. It belongs to God. So we don't have the liberty to use our tongue how we may want to use it in our carnal nature. We simply do not have that luxury. We belong to God. Our bodies belong to God. We are to use our tongues as He would have us to use it, to bring glory to His name. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So our tongue does not belong to us, but our tongue can get us in lots of trouble. Proverbs 18:21. I'll start in verse 19. But 21 is what I really want. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Please pay attention to verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So my question would be to all of us, are we bringing death or life with our words, with our tongue? You know, the tongue, as we'll see in James chapter 3, the tongue is mentioned as, it's called a poison. It's called a poison. The tongue is one member of the body that no man can tame. And we'll get to that later. In James 3, it talks about serpents and beasts and fowls of the air, man can tame, but the tongue, no man can tame. Are we bringing death or life with our words? You know, that little member, the tongue, can destroy. It can destroy families. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy churches. It has. It can destroy lives. It can destroy reputations. I think of social media today, and I know it's not necessarily your tongue, but with scandals that can start. Some may be true, but some people's reputations are really hurt, are really destroyed by that member, our tongue. Are we gossiping? Are we looking for that juicy story on Matt? Or, you know, do we have a chance to maybe squelch a rumor with us? It could stop with us, but we kind of let it keep going. What about lying? Proverbs 6, it gives the seven deadly sins. The second one is a lying tongue. A lying tongue, God calls an abomination. An abomination is that which is disgusting. It's something that's disgusting. A lying tongue is disgusting to God. Also, that word abomination, a lot of y'all have probably heard of Al Mohler, who does the Briefing podcast. According to him, that word abomination is the strongest word that is used in the Bible to condemn something, the word abomination. So God hates an abomination. He hates a lying tongue. He absolutely hates a lying tongue. Another way our tongue can hurt us is by complaining. And I know we all struggle with complaining. That's something, and it's sad, but it's almost like breathing. We complain and we don't even think about it. We don't even notice we're complaining. I know I do, and I have to watch myself. Murmurings and disputings are not pleasing to God. Let's go to James chapter 3. Remember, our tongue does not belong to us. It does not. We don't have the liberty to use our tongue how our carnal nature may want to use our tongue. We were made for much greater. Let's read James chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. And then I'll focus on verse 8, but 5 through 11. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Defile means to corrupt, to make unpure, impure. The tongue defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Strong language. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Strong, strong language. The tongue is a world of iniquity. Verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. John Gill says about this verse, he says, no man can by his own power and strength tame or subdue his tongue or restrain it from evils it is habituated to, be it lying, cursing, swearing, or what else. God, by His Spirit, power, and grace, can and often does change the note of the curser, swearer, liar, and blasphemer. But no man can do this, though he can tame beasts, birds, serpents, and fishes, which shows the tongue to be worse, which shows the tongue to be worse than anything to be found in the whole compass of nature. Are our lips spewing poison, or are we giving balm? Are our words cutting, or are they healing? Don't laugh at me, Matt. Seriously, though, let's think about, I guess, what I struggle with is not thinking before I open my mouth sometimes. Let's think. Let's think Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let that be what goes through our mind before we start to open our mouth. Or before we even listen to maybe a gossip or a rumor or whatever it may be. So, the things that have come to my mind that I see as really hurting each other and bring destruction with our tongue, gossiping, rumors, lying, complaining. Now let's look at, if you're a believer, if your trust is in Jesus Christ, this is how you should use your tongue. And let's first go to the one we all know, Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 29, we are to be an edifier. We're to be an encourager. You know, in order to do that, in order to be an edifier or an encourager, where do we get our mind off of? We get our mind off of ourselves and onto others. So we have to be selfless to be an edifier. We have to be selfless to use our tongue the way we are called to use our tongue by God. I think of Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager and an exhorter. He's called in the Bible, he's called a son of consolation. You know, he was an encourager to the weak brother John Mark, who was weak in the faith and just I guess in his courage. He was weak. Barnabas sort of took him under his wing. He was also an encourager to Paul. He was an encourager to many people. Let's be a Barnabas. Let's encourage and edify each other. And remember that to be an encourager, our minds have to be off ourselves. The next one, and just two more scriptures, the next verse I would like to look at is Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. And this scripture was really the one that first came to my mind when I knew that I wanted to speak on the tongue and have been trying to study it out and pray it out and hopefully improve in my own life. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. In the context is Paul is giving admonitions for masters to their servants. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. First off, the seasoned with salt, that is speaking the truth in love. That is, our speech should be palatable. It should be kind. It should be, we should speak the truth in love. We should provoke one another to love and good works. Again, it's getting our mind off of ourselves. Maybe somebody really was wrong. Maybe they really wronged us. But there's a right way and a wrong way to go about approaching that person. I think of one example of Andrew Beecham one time. I had got into a bad habit of using bad language, especially on the basketball court. And Andrew approached me about it, and he talked to me. It says what is the proverb? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but the wounds of a friend are faithful. Or faithful are the wounds of a friend. He was a faithful friend to do that, and his speech was seasoned with salt. Let your speech be always with grace. When I first read that, I figured it meant be graceful, be kind. And it is what it's talking about in a way, but what it's really talking about, let your speech be always with grace. Let's go back to Brother Gill and see what he says on the matter. He says, let grace be the subject matter of your speech and conversation. When saints meet together, they should converse with each other about the work of grace upon their souls, how it was begun and how it has been carried on, and in what case it now is. They should talk of the great things and wonders of grace which God has done for them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We should be talking about the grace of God in our lives. We all have a testimony. If we've been touched by the Lord, and if you haven't been touched by the Lord, I pray He does a work in your life. I pray that you repent of your sins and that you come to Him. But for us, He has been gracious. He is rich in mercy. He has been rich in mercy in all of our lives. You know, to sin is to miss the mark. And we have all missed the mark. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And our God is a holy God. He has holy justice. And He will punish sin. The sin that we deserve. The punishment that we deserve because of our sins. But by His grace, Galatians 3:13 says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, that curse that we deserve. We have been redeemed from that curse. Christ became cursed for us. And I have to read Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Child of God, this is your lot because of the grace of Jesus Christ on our lives. The blessings of redemption. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take this personally. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's talking about a child of God. We are holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Child of God, we are accepted in the Beloved. As far as God sees it now, because of the work of Jesus Christ, we are holy and blameless. So, what's the third way we should be to use our tongue? Let's go to Psalm 107. We should be an edifier. We should season our speech with salt. And let it be alway with grace. And the last way we should use our tongue is to praise His name for His wonderful works on our life, for His wonderful grace on our life. And I'll close with Psalm 107 and read a few verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Listen to verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Get verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I think the psalmist is trying to tell us something there. He is great and He is greatly to be praised. Let's use our tongue to edify, to season our speech with salt, and to praise His holy name. I'll pray for Ryan and come ahead. Heavenly Father God, You are a good God. You are sovereign. You are all-powerful. You are a just God. And sin will not go unpunished. But Lord, we thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You that He became sin on our sake, for our sake. And that we, in turn, got His righteousness, Lord. And that You see us as holy and without blame. Lord, I do pray that if anybody here has not confessed Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that You would work in their hearts, do a mighty work in their hearts. Lord, please be with Brother Ryan as he shares with us, God. Would You just please bless him, Lord? I pray that he would decrease and You would increase, and that Your name would be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.